Thank you for sticking around for hour number two of the Internet Advisor. My name is Foster Brown, co-host of the program. With me in studio are two experts. Cal Carson is with us and Ed Rudell. They're here. They've worked in both the Windows side and on the Apple side, the Mac side. They've worked with networks. They've worked with a lot of different people over the years helping their problems with computers. So this is your time to get a free consultation on your problem. Simply call 800-859-0957. Hello, Foster Brown here, and this is the second hour of our program, the one that we consider the most important one because it's the one where you get to start with your questions. And by the way, they don't have to be really complex questions. Matter of fact, the simpler they are, the better we like them. In any case, this is a good place for you to kind of like, you were stopping by your local computer store and you want to ask somebody a question about something that's been happening with your computer. And we get these questions by email all week long, but this is your chance to call in and to be able to consult with Ed Rudell and Cal Carson about these problems right here on the air. 800-859-0957. Lines are open right now, and as we say, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And very often, your question will help a whole bunch of people because it opens up our ability to talk about some of the things that may be affecting a lot of people out there.
You know, I was my sister paid me a visit last week, and she goes, "Guess what I have in my trunk?" And it was a brand new laptop, and she wanted to know. They ask people like Cal and I, "What do you think of this computer?" And I'm like, you know, it's going to do what you want to do. Don't worry about it. But she wanted to know that one of the first things I encouraged her, because it came with Windows, is that I recommended that she sign up for that if she did not already have a Microsoft Outlook email account, or Microsoft's what used to be known as a Hotmail account, that when you power up Windows 8 and you get it attached to your network, to accept to get a Microsoft Outlook account. Because one of the things that's going to allow her to do is to use Skype, which was purchased by Microsoft a couple of years ago. Right. And so when she gets home and she has all those other burning questions that she wanted to ask me, like how to go to Nanite.com, download the classic start button for Windows 8, that we could use the Skype application, and she could share her desktop so I could see what she's doing. It's like a collaboration tool.
Right, right. Wonderful.
And when you launch Skype on a Windows 8 machine, it logs in with your standard Microsoft Outlook.com mail account. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to log in with something separate. And she was easily able to locate me. One of the things, though, we discovered is that the Skype that comes with Windows 8 out of the box does not support desktop sharing. And I was seriously put out by that.
Yeah.
Because
it used to be part of the package with Skype.
It was. So it's just a matter of going to Microsoft's website or downloading another version of Skype instead of the integrated version. And she was able to share the desktop, and I could see her, you know, out her window, you know, in the background as her webcam's shining at her. And we could share a desktop, and I could
be able to help her with the
help her out. But one of the things I was, another serious put out, that I was not able to share her or take over her mouse control. Mm-hmm. Come on, Microsoft. You know, if you're going to have desktop sharing, allow someone to relinquish the control of the mouse so that I can, as a technical support brother, be able to do that.
Gal?
Gee, that's funny. Why don't they just give you an operating system that does it all? I don't know. Mac OS 10?
Does that provide the ability for you to remotely take over someone's PC?
Oh, in a heartbeat, baby. All you got to do is go into your library, go into the system, go into core components, and it has screen sharing in there. Double click on it, and I can connect.
Under preferences? Everything. Under preferences?
No, it's under. It's not something that's readily in the front of you, but it's in the operating system.
Oh, now Microsoft has one of those, too, for sending a certificate or an email or a link to someone so they can remotely take over your laptop. They do provide that, and again, it's buried in the bowels of Microsoft's operating system. But you would figure with an application like Skype, which provides messaging, chat, and webcam,
that should be right up on the top.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, without a doubt. Be. But, you know, hey.
It's available on both systems. You just got to dig a little bit in order to be able to get to it.
Yeah, and I think in some cases the reasons for doing that is, in most cases, it's because people are doing technical things. Someone who is tech savvy probably needs to have that type of information. Your average user, maybe not.
But so for folks like you, Ed, as a brother-in-law, you know how to do that kind of thing to help somebody.
Microsoft used to provide a product like that with their IM. I could do desktop sharing and remotely turn over their product. one of the reasons why they don't have that product anymore and have come up with subsequent ones is, come on!
I know.
It's frustrating. Just very frustrating.
So it's there. By the way, folks, Gary in Ann Arbor will be with you in just a minute to talk about your Windows 7 desktop system. If you've got a question for us, we're going to get right into the questions in just a moment. 800-859-0957 is the number. 800-859-0957. And matter of fact, let's get to Gary right now and get him on board. Gary, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Well, I got a question for you guys. I listen to you quite often and certainly appreciate the advice. My situation, I've got a Win 7 64-bit, and it seems a little sluggish to me. You know, I run the Microsoft utility that, you know, looks at memory uses and stuff like that. And I keep the memory usage down to, you know, half, and I make sure I got memory available using maybe half the RAM or whatever. But it seems sluggish when I'm doing stuff as opposed to maybe 6 months ago or something like that. And I've run, you know, SpyBot, I've run, you know, Malwarebytes, I've run SuperAnti Spyware, Norton Utilities. None of them see anything.
You've mowed the lawn with about six different devices. Okay, guys, what do you think?
My first thought is, how much memory do you have in that machine?
6 gigs. Normally I use about 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, 6 gigs, you got a good...
Yeah, but 6 gig, depending on how you use the machine, can make a difference on whether or not it runs good or bad. If you're using it where you're only running like mail and maybe doing browsing, that's fine. But if you're doing mail, browsing, you got Word open, you're doing something in PowerPoint, you're working on some sort of graphic over here and that sort of thing, that 6 gig can get eaten up really fast.
Yeah.
Are you that type of user?
Well, okay, I forgot to, it's an i7, I forgot to tell you that. It's probably three or four years old.
That should be screaming in an i7.
Yeah, and I mean, I do financial modeling stuff, and I run things with continuous data feeds to it and stuff.
All right, so you do push your system a little bit. I tell you what you do. Gary, hang on. We're going to put you on hold. When we come back on the other side of the commercial, what we want to do is take a look at some of the other things that may be going on, but it does sound like you're pushing that little beast hard, even though you got an i7 in there running 6 gigabytes of RAM. Your questions, 800-859-0957. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, your hour number two. When I say that, I mean that very sincerely, that this is the time you're driving along or maybe you're sitting at home and you've got a question that comes up. You know, I ought to ask him about this, about my computer, and you're just kind of hanging back. Don't, please. Give us a buzz at 800-859-0957. And as we're answering your question, we may be answering a whole bunch of people's questions. And you can hear it's kind of a friendly conversation. We've got Ed Rudell and Cal Carson in here. They're both very experienced technologists themselves. And my name, Foster Brown. I'm also here to kind of bring on the common man's point of view. We've been talking with Gary in Ann Arbor, but there's room for you, too, at 800-859-0957. What are you chuckling about?
Common man. I love that. That is so cute. You know, if they call in now, they get to talk to Annie, and she, you know, maybe she'll share a cookie recipe for Christmas with them.
There you go. Yes, Annie Nichols, our lady of the phones. And Rich Luzinski, who's behind the scenes there. And glad. Thank you very much, by the way, for both of you being there. Okay, so lines are open for you as well. Now, Gary, let's get back to you. You've got a Windows 7 machine. It's running an i7 processor, which is one of the top Intel processors out there. You're running it with 6 gigabytes of RAM, and it's on a 64-bit machine.
I forgot to tell you, I'm running dual video cards, 4 monitors. But none of that changed. I mean, that's all the way it was when I assembled it. And I'm just saying that I've noticed it gets more sluggish doing stuff I've been doing for years. So basically nothing has changed other than the performance is degrading.
You know, Gary, Ed and I were talking on the break and that sort of thing. How often do you reboot your machine?
Daily.
Okay. The other thing is, have you got any, like, old printers that you don't have anymore? That you've installed at one point, you replaced it, maybe forgot to uninstall the programs that used to be attached to that printer?
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, one of the things I'd recommend is going into your control panel under Programs and Features, and then sort the programs by date installed. Just to look at them, because you could see, these are the ones... Here's the date that I actually purchased the thing and powered it up for the first time. And here's all the programs that have been installed since. And sometimes some bells will go off like, boy, I got rid of that HP printer 2 years ago, and or that Epson or Brother, or boy, I just don't use my, I just don't use iTunes anymore. Why does it keep, you know, so let me uninstall that, you know, little things like that. Okay. You might want to also check on how many processes are running on your computer when you do the old, you know, control shift escape or control alt delete and bring
task
up task manager.
Yeah.
And then you sort, you go to the processes tab and then show processes for all users. You know, you might want to just, you know, keep that under 90, keep it around 90. I looked at my daughter's and she's only been at school for 3 years and she had 130 programs running or processes running in the background. I had to weed that out. She had like inkjet monitors and for two different printers. And I have my SimCity update. I mean, you shouldn't even be playing SimCity. You're in college, girl, you know, stuff like that.
What about also other things, like you did say you ran malware bytes and a couple other things. Are you only running one antivirus program on that machine?
Yeah, Norton.
Okay.
Okay, one at a time.
Just for fun, how about entertaining this? Why don't you take, you? How did you get your Norton? Did you buy it commercially or did you get it from your internet service provider?
I bought it from Norton.
Okay, so you got your licensing information and all that. Just for fun, try this. Take Norton off your machine. Replace it with Microsoft
Security Essentials.
Security Essentials, which is a lighter weight and less robust processor intensive type of application, and see if that makes a difference. The other thing you want to make sure is all your drivers up to date.
Well, you know, I want to go back to that antivirus because that's a good point, because he can reinstall it again if the performance didn't increase. I just want to make that clear.
Exactly.
Because he purchased it and he has a license for it.
Okay. Yeah, and that's the reason why I asked him if he had his license, stuff like that. Also, make sure all your drivers are up to date, all your Microsoft updates are up to date.
And speaking of updates, one thing I've seen that has seriously slowed down computers is Microsoft continuously trying to download an update that's failed. And so you might want to go into your updates history
On and Windows. See if there's one that fails.
And see that if you're getting a failure every day, every week, that Microsoft is continuously downloading this update and failing to apply it. You may get a pop-up balloon on your taskbar.
The last suggestion that I might want to give you is, how old is this machine?
I'd say 4 years.
If you go into, I think it's System Properties, find out the manufacturer of the hard drive. If it's like Western Digital or Seagate, and then go to their website and get their diagnostic tool.
Oh, yeah.
Download that and run it against that hard drive. Maybe your hard drive is starting to fail.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, good point.
One other thing I'll chime in with. Have you ever used anything like CCleaner?
Yeah, I use CCleaner and there's another one, too. But, yeah, I have used it.
Okay, good, because that'll blow a lot of the dust out of your programs there in terms of pieces of stuff that are...
I love that phrase.
Yeah. And it also, you can run
The registry cleaner?
Registry cleaner, which is one of the safer ones. But, again, you may have a whole lot of broken definitions in there.
Yeah, see, because he said he has four monitors, he's doing a lot of streaming of sheets, they're being updated and stuff like that, he's beaten a living...
daylights
out of that hard drive.
Yeah.
And I think over time, as it becomes more and more prone to failure, that would make it run a little bit slower. So that's the reason why I wanted him to run the diagnostic tool to see if it was an issue with that.
One of the things I did is I downloaded the Heron's Boot CD. Windows 7 includes the ability for it to do defrag on the fly, right? When you're not being used, if there's cycles, it'll defrag. And I say, you know what? Thanks, Microsoft, but I'm going to use the Heron's Boot CD or the bootable flash drive version of it. I'm going to boot up, and I'm going to use the defragler. And what that does, and on my daughter, it took, I think, 20 hours.
Oh, gee.
Because she actually had 400 gigabyte used on a 550 gigabyte hard drive.
Wow.
And that rearranged her hard drive, and we did get a little performance increase. Okay. Because what it does is it optimizes the Windows folders first, and all the individual files in there, and then it does all the other files. And what it does on a contiguous drive, so that the information is loaded sequentially on a mechanical drive.
Right.
What a lot of people have done, and Cal will attest to this because he's done quite a few people that like this, they've purchased the solid-state drives.
Yep.
So depending on the drive that you have in your computer now, if it's under 500 gig, what's the sizes that you're getting now? Is it the...
You get them 256 and 512.
Yes. And reasonable, like $180, $200?
Oh. Yeah, yeah. It's $256 are definitely going for in the $100 range.
Yep, in the $100
range. 512s, $1.50, maybe $1.75.
You don't have to defrag solid-state drives. Matter of fact, that's one of the things they recommend that you do is you disable defrag in Windows, and they may even give you a utility to do this because it actually will reduce the life of your solid-state drive.
Now, Gary, let's back up. And
so we're throwing a lot of things out there, only for him
exactly
to think about, but for our other listeners out there.
This is an example, folks, of, by the way, what we say, when you call in, we really get an opportunity to do a whole lot of stuff. So, Gary, has there been some stuff you've heard here that sounds like it might work for you?
Oh yeah, I've got a laundry list to work on now, so I really, really appreciate that. And I'll next week or two, I'll take care of that. And thanks very much for all the help.
You're,
I really
appreciate
it. You're
very welcome.
And if Cal didn't mention this, because we mentioned it during the break, I would, even though your computer is pretty much the same as it was 4 years ago, and I'm thinking you have four monitors because you do spreadsheets and you're really into the stock market. But that was a commercial break comment. That you might want more memory, because what happens is that as your computer continues to receive updates from Microsoft, the registry is getting larger and larger and larger. So, make that investment and buy as much as you can.
Memory is dirt cheap, you know. So, what can you max out in that computer?
It'll take 12.
Well then, oh God, that's a no-brainer there, baby. Just go ahead and slick that other 6 in there, and you're good to go.
Okay. Oh, you would go up to 12.
Yeah, he
that's
said
true.
He could go to 12.
Yeah,
Cal and I were talking about this, and he just had someone buy a brand new Dell XPS, and it came with 8 gig, and he had him buy another 8 gig and say, you know, it's a no brainer. 8 gigabyte for, what was it, $35?
I spent, this was a little bit of a faster memory, but I may have spent $50, but it was $50 well spent.
Incredible. For 8 gigabytes?
Yes.
Incredible. Gary, hey, thank you for your call. I think you've helped a lot of other people. Have a very happy holiday.
Thank you as well.
You're welcome. All right, folks, your turn. Phone lines are open at 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. It's shame on you if you don't call. If you've got a problem, we got some people here willing to help you here on the Internet Advisor. Thank you for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. Again, we have about 25 minutes left. 800-859-0957, and Meredith and John will be with you in just a moment. I want to point out something that's on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. There is this remarkable little girl, 11 years old, named Asia Newson. She's from Detroit. She was featured on ABC's 2020 last night, and we have a link to that, the video clip from that. It's just incredible. She's a little girl who has started her own business, and it's selling handmade candles. But the best part about it is she's teaching other kids to be entrepreneurs as well. And she works with the folks at Bamboo Detroit, which is that co-working space that Amanda Lawan and some of the other folks there are involved in. And the story is just remarkable. So I recommend you go to internetadvisor.net and click on the story of Asia Newson. She is a wonderful little girl, and I hope someday be able to get her on the air with us, because she just sounds like a ball of fun.
It's amazing how young they get started in this business. Oh. You know, there used to be a commercial, I think, for one of the cell phone companies, and they showed two kids that were, like, buying real estate and stuff like that.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It was just a hoot. But, I mean, it's getting to be more and more a reality.
This little girl has got, I mean, she's got an incredible sales ability. Just incredible. So it's worth, I wanted to mention, it's worth stopping by and taking a look at that. Okay, let's go out to Meredith. And welcome, Meredith, to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
I actually had a question, and it's based on the iPhone versus Android debate.
Okay.
I'm up for a new upgrade. I'm not too sure where I want to go with this, and want to know what's the best way. Personally, I think the iPhone 6 Plus, it looks like a overgrown calculator, and I'm not a fan, so I'm not too terribly sure. And Android with this whole Jelly Bean M&M Rice Krispie treat deal, I'm not really sure. I mean, what do you guys think?
All right, let's start out. Let's see, just for clarifications here, both Cal and I use iPhones, and I have an iPhone 6 Plus, which I just got this last week in front of me, and so I can talk a little bit about that. Ed, you're using an Android, right?
Used Android, no. Could never afford an iPhone, no.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so Ed will be able to talk about the Android system. Cal, you want to start off?
Well, let's go with full disclosure. this person we're talking to, I think, is somewhat related to me, but I'm not going to really say exactly how.
Oh.
However,
just recognize it.
She knows right off the bat that I am an iPhone person, and that's the way I would go with it. You just have to compare the two operating systems together. In the case of the iPhone, because you do not want to go with an iPhone Plus, which is a very large phone,
yep,
which I call a phablet, you're better off if you want to go with an iPhone 6, which is, yep, a smaller configuration, or you can still get an iPhone 5S and still be able to enjoy the iOS experience. So those are the choices that I would go with if I was going on the iPhone side of the game. Ed?
Just a quick question. Meredith, what do you use at home in terms of your computer? Are you using an Apple system?
I have a MacBook. I have an old white MacBook.
Okay.
White MacBook.
So you're used to the Mac system. And,
yeah.
And then along those lines, the iPhone is, it's easy to use because if you use the Mac system, it's pretty much the same thing in many ways. Okay. Ed, Android.
Android, I went with it because it wasn't Apple. How about that? Really, I'm a Mac, anti-Mac.
Ah, okay.
If you will. Put it that way. So I went with it because I had the Microsoft phones and I wanted to try, right, this because I had expandable memory. I could replace the battery.
Absolutely.
It was, and I was in a PC environment. I wasn't in the Apple ecosystem.
Although
there's a lot of people that loved their iPad touches or their, mm-hmm, or the MP3 players. And they made the natural transition.
Right.
It's really a matter of preference. I like the expandability. I like being able to throw a 64 gigabyte SIM card
right,
into my Samsung Galaxy S4, right, and I have, 8 audiobooks that I can,
yep,
listen to those,
exactly,
and simultaneously,
right,
but without, chewing up all my cloud space.
Right, exactly.
But Apple has a lot of, they both have a substantial store to download and play games or use utilities.
One of the things is, just to warn you, Meredith, that if you go towards the Android side, you're going to have a fairly steep learning curve. But, and I know this from having watched my wife use that, and she's now using a Windows phone, by the way, that it took a long time for her to get used to, to go back, here's where you go to get to the home, here's where you go, and you have all sorts of bells and whistles you're not familiar with. So it's going to take it'll take a while either way. However, it'll take less time for you if you are staying within that Apple ecosystem.
And there's a mindset to how you get to things. When you use a Samsung and you want to do something, you go into the settings, and then you look for notifications or sound events. In an iPhone, you do something completely different.
Yeah.
So there's a frustration level for the first week or two until,
yes,
you get
was a frustration level with me for the first 24 hours. I had an HTC Evo. I switched.
Oh.
It was awful. I said, this is the worst thing I've ever used in my entire life. And I said to my dad, switch this and get rid of this. I never want to see this again.
And
my fiance gave it to me, and I said, take this back. I hate it.
What we're talking about here is the if you look into yourself, are you a very patient person?
Yeah.
Are you?
Nope.
Yeah. It's but if you didn't have a choice to go back, you would be forced to be able to learn how to use that device.
Right.
But you had the ability to go back. At least, yeah, you were willing to look at it. That's a good thing.
Good, but
so there's hope for you.
I'd rather not jump through the window. I think I'll sit in the apple tree.
Ah, there you go. All right, Meredith.
Well, thanks a lot for calling, and we'll have to talk about the tree later.
Thanks,
okay,
Meredith.
Dad.
See you later.
All right, that was the
but
family.
She brings up, at least she looked at the other side.
She did give it a shot, and that I'll give her credit for. She wanted to find out whether or not it was, an operating system. Because when she first came to me, she said to me, should I switch? And I looked at her and I said, well, you find out for yourself.
Yeah.
You make that decision for yourself. So she said, okay, I'll give it a try. And because she was having her frustration on the other side. And then once she gave it a try, she decided she wanted to come back.
Well, there are a lot of good features on the iPhone. I love the photo and the cloud and the pictures automatically being available,
mm-hmm,
in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I snap a picture on an iPhone, my wife could see them at home.
I mean, it's quite obvious that both platforms are good. They have their value. They have their features. And it's just a matter of if you switch from one platform to another, you have to learn that new platform.
And what's nice, too, is that they're both learning from the other.
Yes.
Like, for instance, Apple now finally has some things where you can look at what, like, the battery usage of certain applications, which you didn't have before, and that Android did have.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to John in Shelby Township. John, welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we do for you today?
Well, I got on my computer, certain things I go into when I want to look at a video, I have no problems. Other times it tells me I need an upgrade on a flasher system, I think it says, and without that, I can't get into that video.
I was going to say, if you've been directed to a website to watch a video, and it says you need to update your flash, I always select no, I don't wish to do this, and then I close my browser, and then I go to the Adobe website, adobe.com. And
what is it?
Adobe, you know, the
A-D-O-B-E, adobe.com.
A-D-O-B-Y-E?
E, yes.
E, A-D-O-B-E.com.
Adobe makes the flash player for PCs and Macs. And if you wanted to, they have the most up-to-date version. If you already have the most up-to-date version, that website will tell you. So, but if you happen to be directed to a website that's telling you that your flash player is still out of date, that website is trying to put a virus on your computer.
See, this is the important thing. What Ed said to do, and folks, please listen carefully to this. When you get somebody who's telling you with a pop-up, oh, you need to do this, to change this or upgrade this, Ed, what you've done is you said you close it, then you go back to the source, which in this case is Adobe, and check and see if you do indeed have that. And if you don't, it can update you there, and you'll be safe. But as you said, if you go back then, and it keeps on saying, oh, no, you've got to update your... then you know for sure that it's a virus.
Right. Unless, well, the nuance to that, the caveat to that, is if you're running Windows XP, and if you're still using Internet Explorer, you must use probably in like 3 or 4 more months, you're probably going to have to use an alternate web browser, like Google Chrome or Firefox, and make sure you reinstall the Adobe Flash Player again on your computer while using Chrome or Firefox to make sure that they have the most up-to-date version. Because it's quite possible that if you're using Internet Explorer and you're using an older version of Internet Explorer, it might be saying, you know, you truly are using an outdated version of the Flash Player.
John, what operating system are you using on your computer?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Is it Windows XP?
I have no idea.
Well, every time you power up your computer, it'll flash Windows Vista, Windows XP, Windows 7.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Well,
okay.
The bottom line for you, John, is that you can simply go to adobe.com and make sure that you...
Adobe.com,
and then you can make sure that you got the most up-to-date system, okay? All right, thank you, and very happy holidays to you. Hey, folks, we got a chance for a few more calls in here. 800-859-0957. I'd like to take a moment to thank the folks, as we say, behind the glass. Annie Nichols, our ladies of phones, and Rich Lozinski, our engineer, for being here and making sure that we get out to you folks wherever you may be. Our live audience here on WJR in Detroit, and also our folks who listen to us on our affiliates through Michigan Talk Radio. Thank you very much. And by the way, Cal reminded me during the break to tell you folks that we have a podcast every week. Whether we sometimes are preempted by sports here on WJR, or you hear us during the afternoon, and next week we should be available as well, you can simply go to internetadvisor.net, and you will find a podcast there, which is a recording of the show, minus the commercial content editors, so we kind of telescope it. And you can then listen to, for instance, a long-winded answer we had to one of our callers today, who was asking about how to improve performance on his computer. And we had a number of things we touched on in there, because there are a whole bunch of things. It may not be specifically for him, but for a lot of other people. So if you were kind of madly trying to scribble things down there, don't worry about it. Just get the podcast. You can stop it and rewind it and listen to whatever you want in there.
It makes for great entertainment while you're hanging Christmas tree lights.
There you go.
Lighting the menorah.
We're lighting the menorah.
Sitting out the Kwanzaa pile.
Whatever you
want to do, we're here for you. We'll keep you entertained the entire stretch.
Okay, we have about 10 minutes more, so 800-859-0957. Time enough for you to get your question in before we sign off on our program for this week.
Now, Cal, have you got a preference on a printer? Because I bought both my kids Epsons when they both went to college, and I didn't realize this. I forgot this, but the Epson printers the inkjets, when you replace the ink cartridges themselves, you're still using the old ink head. And what I found out is that when my son went to college and then he came back for the summer break and then went back, all his ink heads clogged up.
You know,
because it wasn't being used.
And because of that, you know, I've normally not gone in this direction, but lately I've twisted myself a little bit. And because the price has come down so much on color lasers.
Yes.
I've decided.
Oh, really?
You can get a Brother brand color laser that puts out a pretty darn good looking color sheet for like in the $150 range.
Yeah. Wow.
And I had a Samsung color laser jet that I purchased a year and a half, 2 years ago when the kids were still in high school, because our old LaserJet 6, HP LaserJet 6, just couldn't even do a PowerPoint anymore. Mm. I mean, I had that thing was 15 years old. Now my Samsung has gone belly up, my color, and it was only 2 years old. And wow. So I'm in the market again for another printer.
Yeah, so I mean, if
Brothers are being recommended, I'm finding.
I almost purchased a Brother, but for $125, I couldn't shake a stick at a color LaserJet for that Samsung.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, so, Samsung. But you know, you got $125 use out of it for 2 years. You said that the printer you had before that.
I had to spend $120 for my set of refills afterwards.
Oh.
Because, you know, toner cost quite a bit.
Yeah, it does.
But how much do the toners cost for your Brothers? Have you had to replace it yet?
You know, I have. I personally don't own one. Okay. I mean, because I go with thermal wax because I love the look of that. but I hear that they're not aggressively priced. You know, so they're somewhat reasonable. But I would, you know, normally toner will last a lot longer than you will with ink.
I'm almost thinking of going back to my HP days and getting an HP multifunctional unit for home so that I get the ink heads replaced every time and I don't have to deal with drums, you know, because I went with the inkjet and then I went to the laser jets for 10 years. I think I'm going back to the standard, my old model, standby.
We have a little different solution. We got one computer for like $120, an HP PhotoSmart that does the color.
Yes.
And that's next to my wife, and we don't do a lot of printing on it. We have a color in there to use occasionally, like making a birthday card or something like that. And then I have an HP laser, just a black ink laser that I use constantly. That's the workhorse, and it's been working wonderfully.
You know, I might just go with a black laser printer. You know, I don't need the color anymore because my kids aren't in the house, and they don't have to do their homework in there anymore.
Exactly.
So maybe I'll just do that.
It might work very. I find it's the most economical way of printing for me, at least, because I get a huge amount of
copies. You hear that, Santa Claus?
Hey, John is calling. Oh, pardon me. Jim is calling us from Toledo. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, real good, guys. How about you?
Very good. You're one of our last caller, looks like. So what can we do for you?
Well, I was using my computer the other night, and I got done. I was using a spreadsheet, and when I got done, the computer got real, real slow, and I started getting a pop-up said the PowerShell has stopped working. Running Windows 7.
The PowerShell.
Has stopped working.
What would a PowerShell be, Kel? I mean, when he said PowerShell, I'm thinking, oh, good, it's a Mac, but the PowerShell.
PowerShell, one word, has stopped working.
Well, the only thing I could think of that pops up right now is power management on your computer. So what has happened subsequently to this? Were you able to successfully shut down your computer, reboot, and everything's fine?
I can reboot it, and it comes back up, but it just everything was real slow. And I've run virus scans. I've run malware scans. Nothing came up. I have cleaned a registry. That had a lot of problems, and that cleaned up. And it's gotten faster now, but I still get this little pop-up window every once in a while that says the PowerShell has stopped working.
I mean, it really sounds like it's an add-on to Windows that gives you an alternate interface to me.
Well, it looks like, according to what I've seen here out on the net, that PowerShell is a Trojan and that malware bytes can help to clean that up.
Okay, yeah.
Because
a shell basically is an interface, and, you know, you have your standard Windows Explorer shell, if you will, but there are alternate shells that you could download and install to give you a different look and feel in Windows. And I was thinking, A, you may have had an alternate shell on there that you've loaded, or, as Kel said, maybe there's a virus or a Trojan on there.
Yeah, and I've done, like I said, I've done a virus check now.
Well, you did a virus check, but did you use Malwarebytes?
No, I didn't.
See, because not all malware scanners and antivirus scanners are the same, and nor will they each of them find everything.
Yeah.
As Foster says, well, what's that famous saying you always use?
Uh-oh. You have to use a cocktail to be able to
the one-two punch. Yeah,
the one-two punch. You have to use multiple utilities. That's one of the reasons
why we use belts and suspenders. That's
belts and suspenders. That's one of the reasons why we recommend a product like Super Anti-Spyware or Malwarebytes, because they find things that Norton, Microsoft, McAfee just don't find.
And Jim, you can find both of those or all of those by going to our internetadvisor.net website, and then the toolkit, Ed has put them together in a toolkit there, that you can download them to your computer from there and run them.
Try Malwarebytes. I mean, it's free, and they are specifically saying that they can attack that particular problem.
Okay.
And I think that should be able to resolve it for you.
Now, Microsoft, there is a legitimate product called Microsoft Windows PowerShell,
right,
which is it's an alternate command environment for Windows. So it's possible that there's a program running in the background that has crashed Microsoft's PowerShell. And again, that could be the a legitimate program that's damaged, mm-hmm. or it could be a virus.
I did a search on the C drive for PowerShell, and there's four of them that come up.
What you might want to do to start with is to do that anti-malware bytes with Malwarebytes, okay?
The other thing is you want to check your disk drive for errors. Are you familiar with how to do the scan disk on your computer or check it for disk errors?
I've already done that.
Perfect.
I've done the scan now. Get the command prompt.
Well, Jim, try some of those. You know, start with Malwarebytes. There's also CombiFix that you can run. You will find all those tools in that toolkit at internetadvisor.net. Okay, Jim?
Okay.
All right. Hope that helps you, and have a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And the same goes for all of you folks out there. Back this coming week again with the Internet Advisor. But during the week, if you have a question for us, hey, simply go to internetadvisor.net, click on that Contact Us button, and then give us an email with your concerns, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Ed, Cal, and myself are standing by to answer your questions during the week. Thanks so much for being here with us. And again, don't forget, stop by internetadvisor.net and take advantage of our podcast and all the information in our show notes. Have a wonderful